Well, so great to be here with you guys. I want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for asking me to share God's word at this great event, our spring advance, and I'm really, really pumped to do this. Should I hold back a little?
No.
Should I reserve myself out of just being decent? I am excited to believe God. And this morning, it's believe like never before. I'm not trying to put pressure on you, because believing is easy. I'm just saying, why not? You have no good answer, so forget about it. I got into God's word when I was 11 years old, because my father said to me one day, Dean, do you want to learn about God? Somebody had just spoken the word to him. And I immediately just thought, yeah, why not? And then at the tender age of 12 years old, I got to sit through a class called Power from Under Living. I got a lot of drawings in my notes. I actually, at that time, okay, I was extremely immature. All right? It was like a suitcase of what I used to call my men, which... What that meant to me was my action figures. I had Superman. I had the Hulk. I even had Shazam. And here I am taking PFAL, speaking in tongues. And you know, one of the things that got set deep within my heart was believing. This is what really turned me on when I heard about God's word. Believing, and what that means to me is that I could believe God's word. I could pray and believe, and guess what? The future is going to change. It has to change. It was going to do this, but now it's going to do that because I prayed and believed. This is what was set in my heart. And this is what I'm excited about, that we could change the future by believing. So why not? Go to Joshua 10. Joshua chapter 10 is where we'll start. Most of us have been taught God's word like it hasn't been known since the first century church. Do you realize that? We've been served God's word on a silver platter, and we've just eaten it up. Oh, man, I see you guys eating those snacks last night. Someone said, snacks? This is dinner. You know? The accuracy of it, the integrity of it. We know what's available, how to receive it, and what to do with it after we've got it. We know that this word of God fits like a hand in a glove. That it has a mathematical exactness and a scientific precision. Remember? Absolutely. And the reason why you know that is because of faithful men who have stood and taught the same word of God. Thank you, guys. The same accuracy, the same integrity. So what now? What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do about it? I say now it's time to believe this word like never before. And what I'm saying is, like the first century church, but even greater. Why not? Why not? Believing everything you've heard from God's word, like no people ever have in the history of the world. Are we alive? Is this just a video game? We're alive now. Today's a day. Jesse Bowles, today's a day. Christ in every believer was just getting started in the first century church, people. That was the beginning. That was not the pinnacle. The adversary's done a great job at trying to foil God's plans. But guess what? He's a loser. And he knows it. Every time we believe, we remind him that he's a loser. So in Joshua chapter 10, you there? Look at verse 12. It says, then spake Joshua to the Lord. Oh, one other thing about this Christ in all of us, you know. Back when Jesus Christ was there was one, right? Now, there's a lot of Jesus Christ in all the believers all over the world. God just spread it out like pollen. His word, it just, how are you going to stop pollen from spreading all over the place? Christ in every believer, all over, and one did so much. changed the history of the world. Now there's a lot of Christs all over. What do we call ourselves? Christians and believers. Believers do what?
Believe.
We believe. We believe God. That's right. We call ourselves believers. So in Joshua 10, verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, and the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua was pumped that day. He was in the zone. He was in the zone. He told the sun to stand still and the moon. Woo! Could God do such a thing? Sure, he can. He designed the sun and the moon. He created them. Imagine what God can do for you. If he did that for Josh. Look at 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. There's no limit to what God can do. It's so freeing. No limit. He's infinite in variety and wisdom. God is just like none other. In 2 Kings 20, verse 8, it says, And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that thou hast spoken. Shall a shadow go forward 10 degrees? Or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It's a light thing that for a shadow to go down 10 degrees, because that's what always happens. Nay, but the shadow returned backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So God stopped the sun and the moon, and here he reversed it. He can do those kind of things. This is our God. He's a little bigger than, you know, just in our brain. This is what he can do. We have the same God today. In fact, we have the same sun shining outside right now. One of the things I love to do is to squint and look right at the sun. I got to squint because then, you know, you can't really look at it. It's so bright. But I love to squint and look right at the sun and just knowing and believing that God created it and put it there. And it's been shining like that since day one. It's the same sun, same God, you know. Now, did God just make the shadow go back? Or did he actually make the sun go back? Isaiah 36, or 38. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, verse 4. Another perspective here. It says, Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and his city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, the degrees, 10 degrees backwards. And here it is. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. The sun returned 10 degrees. That's amazing that God would do that for somebody. Why did he do it? To help them believe, kind of like what Michelle shared about. You know, it's not about pressure on us to believe, because believing is simple. God does the real part in the whole deal. So again, imagine what God can do for you. You know, what wouldn't he do for you? He stopped the sun and the moon. He reversed and turned them 10 degrees to help people, to help them in their battle, and to help this man believe. Psalm 33. The book of Psalms. Chapter 33, verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Don't try to relate God to a man. He's not a man. He's not human. He's spirit. He creates things. It says, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear or reverence or respect the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was what? He commanded and it what? The whole world should respect God, not just believers, but everybody, everything, everywhere should have awesome awe and respect for God. So consider who you're believing when you believe and take God at his word, knowing this same God loves you. You don't have to go there, but in Galatians 5:6, it says, faith which worketh by love. That's believing is energized by love. So believe that God loves you like never before. Think about how God loves you and believe it like never before. And then love others like never before. Why not? In Luke 1:37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you know that in the depths of your heart? Do you believe that in the depths of your heart? God's doing things with the universe and stuff, moving things that weigh more than like 5 pounds and stuff. This helps me, this verse, in a tremendous way to not put God in a box. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do not put God in a box. Dare to believe God. Do not limit yourself. You stay, you never give up. You show up every day with believing. His power is bagooge. I know, I was trying to think of the big word. Bagooge. You know? It's just so big. Don't let it be unbelievable. And just stop. Oh my God, that's unbelievable. And you just stop. No. That's what most of the world does, but we actually believe. How cool is it that we actually believe the word of God, that when it says he stopped the sun and the moon, we actually believe that it stopped? That is awesome that you believe that. You believe God's word, you know? Why couldn't he do those things? He created them. He designed the whole thing out there. And if he wanted to, he could stop it like a stopwatch. That's a big God. Since God can do those things, we have to let it sink in of what he can do for us. What couldn't he do for us? What wouldn't he do for us? Nothing's too hard for God. We're his people and he loves us. And we need to step up. We need to step up. Why not? It is time, people, to believe his word like never before, like they did in the first century and even greater. It's easy to see how God can do these things when we look at it from his perspective. To him, it's nothing but a chicken wing. You know? These Do you see it? Do you understand how easy it is for God to do stuff? Him being the creator, and he just would speak and things would just get created. You know? You think that was easy for him to do those things? It's even easier for us to just believe. You know, there's nothing hard. There's no hard work in believing. Believing is not this. That's not believing. That's more like doubt, worry, and fear, or constipation, or something like that. You know? That's not it. Believing is just like this. It's just like a snap. You just believe. You pray, and you believe. It's not that you have to have a certain amount of knowledge, an instruction, strength, or approval. No. You just believe. And I thought of how speaking in tongues, you know, the effort in believing that it takes to speak in tongues. And for me, it's just ridiculous that I did it when I was 12 years old. Because I was just really immature. I don't know. I hope you understand how immature I was. Okay? But there I was. And I was able to believe God and speak in tongues. And the effort in believing to speak in tongues is the same effort in believing any of the other manifestations. Or anything God says, for that matter. It's the same effort. And those of you who speak in tongues, you understand how easy it is and simple it is, right? Those of you who don't speak in tongues, it's easy. If I did it when I was 12, in that condition of incredible immaturity, anybody could speak in tongues and believe God, okay? So go to Genesis 1:1 and keep your finger there. And also go to Philippians 4:19, okay? We're going to do a juxtapositioning of verses. Remember that word from art class? The juxtaposition of color? Where you put two next to each other and you check them out? What colors do you like to go together?
Orange and blue.
Orange and blue. How about peach and glossy black? You know, the juxtapositioning. So here we go. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that hard to believe?
No.
Do you have a tough time believing that verse? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Now, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's the difference? What is the difference? It's the same God that we have. He said one thing and it was done. He says another and it's going to get done. It's the same God, same power. It's believing. It's a snap. I want to tell you a little story that where this verse, Philippians 4:19, just delivered me. In 2009, I was laid off from a job that I had for 13 years. And I had a two-year-old, a pregnant wife, and a mortgage. So I started a new business in a down market with my brother from another mother, Alberto Pena. And it's interesting, at that time, Jerry was in a doctor-induced coma or whatever. Couldn't even talk to him about any of it because he was knocked out at that time. Which, you know, Albert and I got counsel and we started this thing. We didn't even make resumes or anything like that. We just went for it. And a short time after, we had $500 in our account. And I had a heavy heart. And, you know, sometimes even as believers, we know this, it's all in the book of Psalms. You have a heavy heart where you can't even speak. That ever happened to you? Well, I couldn't even speak at that time. I felt like cinder blocks on my chest. Like I couldn't even pray. because I would repeat the same thing over and over again. That ever happened to you? So what I did was I started writing out my prayers. Because then, like when you write, it's a train of thought that you write, and it's easier to pray. And while I was writing, I remembered Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So I just believed it. And at that moment, I believed it. The cinder blocks slid off my chest. And I immediately had an inner smile. And to me, that's that effervescing of believing. I was able to do that because I believed and I put things in the right perspective. God is the supplier, not me. And I was trying to make myself the supplier. See the mistake? We believe and we receive. That's our job, to believe. God's job is to supply, not ours. That was delivering for me. And then the next day, we got a check from some work we had done. And then right after that, we got some new jobs. And now 7 years later, we've grown to 12 people and we have zero debt in our business. And that's God. Thank you. And we're working in 6 different airports. We're trying to work it all out. Believing is simple, it's not hard. And here's another one. Was it hard to believe Romans 10:9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Was that hard work for you when you believed that? Did you grunt and strain when you believed that verse? Yet what happened when you believed it? An eternal spirit was created within you, eternal life. God does that heavy lifting part. Think of how easy it is to believe Genesis 1:1 and how easy it is to believe Romans 10:9 and 10 to be saved. You see, believing is not hard work. It's just a snap. What kind of power does it take to create spirit within? What kind of power did it take to create the sun and the universe and all of this? God has that power, and we believe him. It's our job to believe and receive. You know, receiving is part of our job. We believe and we receive. Man, there's so much to receive. We don't have to know all the definitions of believing and all the intricacies of God's word to believe. Just like you don't have to understand all the intricacies and all the science behind electricity to enjoy electricity. We just do it. We do it, you know? We don't have to learn a certain amount of stuff before we can believe God and his promises. We could believe day one, right at the start. In Romans 10:17, where Jerry opened last night, so then faith cometh by what?
Hearing
by the word of God. So hear more of God's word than you've ever heard before. If believing comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, why not get more of it? Get more of it. So we got to get to that word. Take the time to read God's word and to go to fellowship. You know, don't miss fellowship for 7 years. Go to fellowship because that's where you hear God's word taught and you get to be with other believers. Why not hear and read God's word more than ever before? Here's another one. Do you know your name?
Yes.
That's believing. Did you have an argument about your name when someone told you what your name was? Did you put up resistance and say, wait a second, no. Did you have an issue with your name? The way you received your name should be no different than the way we receive God's word. He says it, we believe it. Don't put up a front on that word of God when you hear it. It's so easy, it's ridiculous. Believing is easy as pie. Easy as Sunday morning. Believing is, you could do it with your eyes shut. It's easy. It's time to believe this word like never before. There's no more waiting for something to happen. It's already happened. Why not? Okay, here's some maybe answers to why not. Because you already believed the most ever in the past in your life, and now it's all downhill. That's one possibility, right? Here's another one. Well, that was done back in that big ministry in the 70s and 80s where believing was the best, but it's gone. Or, well, the pinnacle of believing was in the book of Acts, and that's where it was at. You know, past, present, future. Mm-mm. I don't read that in God's word, that's it. It's over. Christ hasn't come back yet. His will is still for all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. We still have Holy Spirit and can walk with God and manifest his power. So why couldn't it be better than ever before? Tell me. Am I wrong?
No.
Then why not? We have the potential believing to have it, to have our Father God be so blessed to see people actually believe him better than ever before in the history of the world. We have that opportunity now in this generation, this people, us. Look at us. What I'm saying is real. It's not pressure on you. I'm not trying to put pressure on you. I'm just trying to help you see how easy it is and what's available and how we can receive that and do that. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11. We're going to look at a couple of records of Jesus Christ here. I have a question for you. When is the prime of your life? Okay. Some people might say it's your 20s. Other different opinions might say it's your 30s or 50s because, you know, you've established whatever, whatever. But when you look at it from a biblical perspective, the prime of our lives is any age we believe God. Any age. I don't care how old you are, whether you're a child, a kid, or whether you're like 85, 90 years old. If you are believing God, that is the prime of your life. Because you're walking with him. You're operating manifestations. You're living fresh and on the edge with God. That's the prime of your life. Jesus Christ set the standard for believing. He could look back at the Old Testament, read those records like we just did. We could look back at records like that too, and the records of Jesus Christ and the guys after him. In Mark 11, verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, he needed some snackage. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, and if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it." That's weird. He's talking to a tree. "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Look down at verse 20. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God." Believe God. That's what that is. Have faith in God. It's just believe God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? When you pray, believe that you have it already. Believe. That's where Jesus Christ was at with his believing. He wasn't God, he was a man. And that's where he was at with his believing. Whatever God worked in him or showed him, he just believed. Now, remember, Jesus Christ always did what? The will of his Father. That's where he was at with believing. I want to share another brief story. When I was 15 years old, I started praying for a scholarship for college. Because when we looked at how much it cost, my mom said, well, Dean, we'll just have to sell the house. And I was just kind of just taken back by what she said. And I said, God, I need a full scholarship to college. Where's my mother going to move or live or something like that? I said, I need a full scholarship to college. So I started praying. And I didn't have a written journal at that time. I had a tape journal. I have myself on tape speaking in tongues and praying for a scholarship to college. Absolutely. So when I was 17 years old, what do you think happened? I got a full 5-year ride to one of the best architecture schools in the country. Not because of me and my talent, but because of God. Saved my mother a lot of money too. And then on the first day of freshman orientation, before even getting there, I met Alberto Pena for the first time. We actually hailed the same cab from the train to go to school, and we split the cab fare. Just tremendous. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, in verse 5, it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our believing. And the Lord said, if ye had faith or believing as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That's where Jesus Christ was at with believing. His boys came up to him, increase our faith. You know, Jesus Christ, snap your fingers so that we can believe more. Increase our faith. And he said, guys, if you believe the tiniest little bit as a mustard seed, the tiniest little seed, then one of the largest trees with the largest root systems has to obey you. That's where Jesus Christ was at. What a great teaching on believing. Right there. That's how God taught his son, Jesus Christ. And that's how God is leading his people in the word here. This is how God wants us to see things, how he wants us to understand things. You could write these records down. Matthew 8, 24, Jesus Christ rebuked the wind and the sea. Remember that record?
Yeah.
The boys were scared. They were scared. They feared. Jesus, we're going to die. Jesus Christ stood up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and they stood still. Mark, you could write this down, 1:22. Jesus Christ taught with authority and rebuked an unclean spirit. He told them in the word, the way it's written, you know, it says, hold thy peace and come out of him. You know, written in Old English. And he told them to shut up and get out with authority. Jesus Christ taught with authority, not like the scribes, all weak and just shameful. Jesus Christ walked around with authority. He knew who he was and who his father was. He was talking to trees. He was talking to the wind and the sea, talking to unclean spirits. In Luke 4, you could write that down, Luke 4:38, Jesus Christ rebukes a fever from a believer who was sick. And then she got up and made some lasagnas for them. Ministered to them, you know. He's talking to trees. He's talking to wind and seas, the sea. He's talking to unclean spirits, and he was talking to fevers. Jesus Christ lived this life with some authority. We have this authority, people. We have it. He's talking to things. You know, one time I had this crazy condition on my skin. I had bumps, red marks everywhere. And I went to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist said I had instantly, when she saw my back, she said, "You have pyrrhicia rosea." And I said, "What the heck is that?" So this was day 3 of this condition. She goes, "Oh, this is a virus. There's nothing you could take for it. You could put a cream on it, but it's not going to do nothing." So I said, she handed me a pamphlet, and it's this thing in your nervous system. It's a symmetrical tree on your back, and it goes throughout your whole body, and you get these red marks all over your whole body. It's kind of interesting looking because it's in like nervous system virus thing. And I was about to share God's word in a few days at an advance on prayer. And this was me at the moment. So I went home and I was studying about prayer and the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ and stuff. And I kind of forgot about it for a little bit. And then as I was writing some notes, I looked at my arm and I saw some spots. So I looked at a spot and I talked to it. And I said, "Get out in the name of Jesus Christ." And then I just kept working. And within a couple of days, it was gone. Not 6 to 8 weeks. I got to talk to spots. And I was able to share God's word without looking like a freakazoid with these red spots on my face. I think people would have been so distracted they wouldn't have heard a word I said. But we have to exercise this authority here on earth that we have. Look at Mark 5. Verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she might be healed, and she shall live.' And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up in her, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' He must have got some kind of tingle or something. He knew power had gone out of him. Maybe one day you'll know power is coming out of you because somebody touched your clothes. Why not? Believe like never before. This is the power we have. In verse 31, "And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?' Jesus Christ, you're ridiculous." He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith, your believing, hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be thou whole of thy plague.' And while he yet spake, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?'" Think of being that dad for a moment. You got Jesus Christ to come heal his daughter, and he gets distracted by this woman who touched his clothes, and now he's hearing that the daughter's dead. You could just imagine his heart sinking in his body right now. But you know who else heard those words? Jesus Christ. And immediately he gave him some new words. Verse 36, "And as soon as Jesus heard that what was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only what?'"
Believe.
At that moment, he had a choice. And if he continued to fear, it would have been over. But he stopped himself. He controlled his mind. He stopped. And he believed. And I just get that mind picture of like stopping a freight train or something. Cold. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John his brother, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. What a scene. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Jesus Christ walked around knowing what kind of authority he had, and he believed. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. We're going to be faced with obstacles, no doubt. But we go around them. We go over them. We go under them. We go through them. It doesn't matter because we're with God, and God's with us. We just believe. Remember when Jesus Christ gave authority to the disciples? He gave them some power to go out and do some great things. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal manner disease and stuff like that. Was that just for his fellowship? No. For those guys? You know? Well, a lot of Christians think that. But we don't. Look at Acts 19. Acts 19. We're going to look at the first century church and part of its height here. Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. The word was spoken and people believed. You got to have that word. You got to have the word spoken for there to be believing. And in 2 years and 3 months, all of Asia heard the word without radio, TV, or internet. In verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. There's no power in a hanky. But there's great power in renewed mind believing. These people believe God, and God helps us believe. Whether it's a hanky, whether you touch a garment, whether the sun returns 10 degrees, we turn to him and he helps us believe. Believing is simple, you know. In Acts 14, you could write it down, starting in verse 8, it talks about Paul, where he perceived that someone had believing to be healed. And he said with a loud voice to stand up to someone who never walked. And as Jesse shared, you know, Paul used to really hurt Christians bad and mess them up and tear them up. And there's Paul walking with God, delivering people, healing them. And then, of course, in that record, they want to come and sacrifice to Paul like he's God or something. Well, we're not God, but we have God in Christ in us. Okay? So it doesn't take a perfect person. We know that, right? Are you over that yet? That you're not perfect? All right, if you're not, you are not perfect. But it doesn't matter. That's the good news. Because we have God and Christ in us. Christ was perfect. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Today, believe God like never before. We absolutely also have this power. And we're closing Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Man, this is fun to share God's word like this. So great. Ephesians 1, verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what?
Believe.
Believe. According to the working of his mighty power." It's all his power. It's him. He does the heavy lifting. He does all the hard work. It is not hard to believe God. It's just a snap. Look at Ephesians 3:20. It's God's power we get to manifest here on earth. In Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what?" Holy moly. You should have no hesitation to go to God for anything, because he could even blow out the most craziest thing you could ever think of. "Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So ask. Get a little wild in your requests. Don't hold back. Believe like never before, knowing he could go way beyond what you can ever come up with. If you're tired of being disappointed, believe God. It's our job to believe and receive. It's God's job to supply. So it's time, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to believe God like never before. Let's make our mark of believing God now. In this generation, right now, while we're alive, while we draw breath, while we can pray and believe, like no people ever have believed in the history of the world. It's not hard. It's not hard. We simply believe. We accept it. It's just, and that's it. So I didn't want to put pressure on you. I hope you don't feel like I put pressure on you, like, oh no, now, oh, what am I going to do? That's not believing. That's not it. Don't get constipated or anything, okay? Just believe. It's nothing but a snap. All right? That's what I wanted to share. I love you. God bless.